All right, gotta say, you've really thrown us a curveball this time with these sources. Yeah, we've got, on the one hand, these deep questions and existential explorations, you know, all that heady stuff that really makes you think about, well, everything.
Oh, yeah, those are always good for a bit of an existential crisis, right?
What, right? And then, bam, you hit us with Dora, Terror in the Tropical Forest. I mean, talk about a shifting gears. It's a wild ride, that story. Plus, you know, the whole backstory of how these two even ended up together in your collection, it's a bit of a mystery in itself.
It is a pretty interesting juxtaposition, right? Like, you've got these deep philosophical ponderings, and then this, well, this very intense and kind of disturbing narrative. It makes you wonder, what connections might be lurking beneath the surface. Even if a story like Dora's is clearly fictional, there's often something about it that, well, that just sticks with you, makes you think twice about things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like even in the made-up stuff, there's this echo of real human stuff, you know? Fears, anxieties, the darkness that we try to keep hidden away. And speaking of context, we should probably mention that the Inspector Story Instagram account, you know, the one, right? They presented the Dora narrative in this sort of lighthearted, almost tongue-in-cheek way.
Right. As if it were, just a fun little campfire story.
Exactly. And it's interesting because we also have these notes from fictional narrative analysis that explicitly say, hey, this isn't a true story, it's made up, which in a way I think gives us permission to really dissect it, to have a little fun with it without, you know, worrying about real world implications or sensitivities.
Makes sense. When you know something's fictional, you can kind of let your imagination run wild, explore different angles, try on different interpretations.
Totally. So let's dive in, shall we?
Let's do it.
The first thing that jumps out at me, obviously, is the massive contrast between these two sources. I mean, Deep Questions and Existential Explorations is all about these huge open-ended questions, you know, like what's the meaning of life? What's our place in the universe? Phrases like it really makes you or it forces us to confront keep popping up. And this constant emphasis on the million-dollar question, which of course has no easy answer, it's very much about like the process of questioning itself rather than actually finding concrete solutions.
It definitely sets a very specific tone, right? Like,
Yeah.
it throws you right into this vast philosophical space where you're encouraged to like grapple with the really fundamental aspects of being alive and trying to make sense of it all.
Yeah.
The emphasis is on that journey of exploration, on constantly asking why and how rather than expecting neat, tidy answers.
And then we get to Dora, and suddenly everything shrinks down to this one very specific and, let's be honest, pretty messed up series of events.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. The focus definitely shifts dramatically. You go from this expansive contemplation of existence to, well, to a very grounded and unsettling story.
Unsettling is a good word for it.
That's
So
true.
the story sets up this picture of Dora's childhood, right? Deep in the rainforest, totally isolated. Her father is a hunter, and he's basically her only teacher, her only connection to the outside world. He teaches her everything about survival, how to hunt, how to track, how to live off the land. But then when he dies, things start to change.
So that isolation right from the beginning becomes a key factor. Like, it sets the stage for maybe for something to go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at first, she keeps hunting, as you might expect. It's what she knows. But then there's this encounter with a stranger, and after that, people start disappearing. And not just like wandering off and getting lost, we're talking vanishing without a trace.
Okay, so that encounter seems like a potential turning point. Like, maybe it was some kind of trigger that, warped her perception of the world of other people. Especially combined with the whole isolation thing, it could have pushed her over the edge.
It's a really chilling thought. And the disappearances themselves are brutal. There are these campers who are found, well, let's just say not in good shape. And then a fisherman, his boat is found adrift, completely empty, no sign of him anywhere. And it just escalates from there. Over 100 people, tourists, explorers, even villagers vanish over just 3 years. It's insane. I mean, what could possibly account for that level of disappearance with no bodies, no real clues? It's like she's become this phantom, this unseen force that just erases people from existence.
That's what makes it so unsettling, right? The sheer scale of it and the complete lack of evidence. It's not just violence, it's something much more spectral. Like you said, it almost becomes this mythical thing, a story you tell to scare kids around a campfire.
And then, of course, comes the discovery of the cabin.
Oh, yeah, that's when things get really creepy.
Right. So they find this hidden cabin deep in the jungle and inside. Well, there's a man who's been held captive there for years, starved, scarred, completely dependent on Dora for everything. And here's the detail that just sends chills down my spine. She calls him Slippers. It's like she's deliberately dehumanizing him, turning him into something small and insignificant.
Slippers.
Mm.
Wow, that's really messed up. It's like she's trying to erase his identity completely, to make him less than human in her own mind.
Exactly. And he describes being treated like an animal, you know, no freedom, no autonomy, just existing to serve her needs, basically her slave. It's a pretty horrific picture.
It really makes you think about the nature of power, right?
Yeah.
And how easily it can be abused, especially in a situation like that where there's complete isolation and no external checks and balances. It's a chilling example of what can happen when someone's sense of morality, of right and wrong, becomes completely warped.
And here's the kicker. When they find the cabin, door is gone. Vanished. The only thing left is this sentence carved into a tree. Dora always finds her way. It's almost like a signature, you know, a warning.
It's definitely ominous. It's like she's saying, you can't escape me. I'm always out there watching, waiting.
Yeah, exactly. It leaves you with this feeling of unease, like the story isn't really over.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this one final detail that just makes it even creepier.
Oh, man, what now?
So there are these reports from travelers in the jungle, right? And they claim to hear this soft, gentle voice asking, do you want to play with me?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's terrible. That's terrifying.
Right. After everything we've just heard, that innocent little question takes on this whole new layer of meaning. It becomes this sinister invitation, like she's luring people in, you know?
It's like something out of a horror movie. The contrast between that sweet, childlike voice and the horrible thing she's done is just, well, it's really effective. It makes the whole story that much more unsettling.
Totally agree. It just stays with you, you know? It makes you wonder what really lurks beneath the surface of things. But, you know, we have to remember that this is all fictional. Fictional narrative analysis, and that Instagram account make that very clear. We're not talking about a real-life horror story here. Mm. It's entertainment, in a way.
Right, right. And that's important to keep in mind because it allows us to engage with the story on a different level. We can enjoy the thrill, the chills, without feeling, you know, too disturbed or traumatized by it, because we know it's not real.
Exactly. But even knowing that, it still sparks some interesting questions, right?
Mm.
So let's put on our thinking caps for a minute. Maybe channel our inner Mulder and Spelly, like one of your sources suggested.
All right, I'm game. Let's get speculative.
Okay, so what do you think? What could have driven Dora to do these things? Why the Slippers nickname? And what's the real meaning behind that carved message?
Well, given her upbringing, the isolation, the trauma of losing her father at a young age, it's not hard to imagine some kind of, you know, psychological break. Like, maybe the skills she learned for hunting animals got twisted, misapplied to humans. Maybe it became a way for her to assert control, to deal with some deep-seated fear, insecurity. And the Slippers thing, well, it could be a way of dehumanizing her victim, making it easier for her to justify her actions. As for the message, it could be a warning, a threat, but it could also be something more symbolic. Like, maybe she sees herself as being part of the jungle itself, this untamed force that can't be controlled or contained.
That's interesting, the idea of her being this force of nature. It kind of elevates her from just a disturbed individual to something more primal, more mythic. And the Slippers detail, it's amazing how such a simple word can become so loaded with meaning, so chilling in the context of that whole power dynamic.
Yeah, it really shows how language can be used to manipulate and control. By stripping him of his name, his identity, she essentially reduces him to an object, a possession. It's a subtle but incredibly powerful way of asserting dominance.
It's a chilling thought. You know, it's funny. In a way, these deep questions excerpts, even though they're so abstract, they kind of touch on some of these same themes, right? The fragility of the human mind, the darkness that can lurk beneath the surface, the way our experiences shape our perceptions of the world. It's like, even in this fictional story, we're getting a glimpse into some very real and very unsettling aspects of human nature.
Absolutely. It's like the story is holding up a mirror, in a way, showing us the potential for both good and evil that exists within us all.
Yeah.
It makes us think about the choices we make, the paths we choose, and how easily things can go wrong.
And that final image of her inviting people to play after everything we've learned about her, really, it's a masterstroke, really. It just hammers home that sense of unease, that feeling that things are not what they seem. It makes you question everything, even the most innocent-sounding gestures.
It's a perfect example of how a story can use contrast to create tension and suspense. By juxtaposing that sweet invitation with the horrific reality of Dora's actions, it really throws you off balance. It makes you question your own perceptions, your own ability to judge what's safe and what's not.
It's a powerful reminder that sometimes the most terrifying things come disguised in the most harmless packages. So there we have it. We started with these broad philosophical musings, and we ended up in the heart of this dark, unsettling, but ultimately fictional jungle. It's been a wild ride, but it's definitely given us a lot to think about.
It's amazing how even a story that's clearly made up can have such a profound impact, right? It speaks to the power of storytelling, of our need to explore the darker corners of human experience, even if it's from a safe distance.
Absolutely. It's like we need these stories, these fictional explorations, to help us make sense of the real world, to grapple with the big questions, the anxieties, the things that keep us up at night, even if we never find all the answers.
Well said. It's all about the journey, right? The exploration, the constant question.
Exactly. So to everyone listening, we want to hear from you. What parts of the Dora story stuck with you? What connections did you make to those deep questions? Let us know your thoughts. We're always up for a good discussion.
Always.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and maybe, just maybe, keep an eye out for Dora in the shadows. You never know where she might be lurking.
Good advice.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.